What's up? What's up, everybody? It's a members-only episode of Part of the Problem. How's it going, Rob?
I'm well. It looks like the studio bug hit you today.
Yeah, what are you talking about, dude? No, I just like to, I feel like sometimes it's just kind of nice to, like, instead of looking at me like this, like, maybe look at me like this, and maybe have worse video and audio quality, you know? Why do it
these
the good
things
way?
Happen. Is that a Ron Paul bronze statue over your right shoulder?
Yeah, it might be. Maybe I keep statues of Ron Paul in my house, Rob. I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do.
No, it's cool. I never saw that before. That's a nice touch.
I wish I could credit who it was. But like this, you know, this one of the cool worlds. I know you've experienced this a lot. Just from one of the cool things about doing what we do is that there's talented people who just listen. You know what I mean? And then you find like some artist or a sculptor or this. So there's some guy and he made one for Scott Horton, one for me. I think maybe one for Tom Woods or something like that. I think he sent a bunch of them to us. It was just really cool. The company that did this whole thing was just fans. It was just wood art guys. Okay, I'm blanking on everyone's name. I apologize. I should be giving shout outs. But anyway, yeah, I'm having some fucking technical issues with the studio. It's goddamn infuriating. It's the most. And I know you've dealt with this a bit, Rob, and you're better, much, much better on like the technology end than me. Like I really rely on you for, you know, setting up recording on the road and shit like that. But there's the thing like when you can't figure it out, and that's frustrating. But the thing that's worlds more frustrating is like when you're not wrong and the technology, the technology just isn't working. Like there's no reason it should be this way. Why would it be my camera's working, then all of a sudden it's not working? Then I restart, now my camera's working, but now the audio doesn't work. But the audio was working before I restarted. Why would any of this happen? Why do bad things happen to good people, Rob? That's the first question for today's show.
Yeah, so the woodwork behind you, I've played the guy's spot a couple times. His name is Ryan, does great woodwork, and he's got the stables out in Savannah. Ryan.
Dude, he does awesome work.
Which is a cool little venue that I've got to play a couple times. His wife's a great artist too. But dude, I had that on the other day when I turned on my computer. It's like everything's attached and just nothing wanted to work. And you're like, I don't get it. I podcasted yesterday. I will podcast tomorrow. Why are you like a sick human that you're just taking a day off?
Dude, the fucking, that, you know, that Louis C.K. joke, I think it was one of the best jokes I've ever heard in my life. It's the first time there's ever Wi-Fi on planes.
Yeah, it's a whole new thing. Yeah, everything's amazing and nobody's happy.
Yeah. Where it's just like this thing, like it's like, hey, guess what? There's Wi-Fi on planes now. And you go, what? That's nuts. I could be on the internet on the plane. And then they go, the Wi-Fi is temporarily out. And he's like, and you're just like, dude, you didn't even know you had this Tuesday. And it is the same. We're all like that. Like as soon as you get something, it's just like, well, now I'm owed that. Obviously, I'm owed this studio to work. You know, it's the coolest thing ever that I can just have a studio in my home. But now I'm furious the one time it doesn't work.
There's also there's a good Jerry Seinfeld joke. I don't even know if it's a stand-up joke, but it might, whatever. I just like this one where he goes, it's always funny when on a call and like the call gets dropped and then you get back on a phone call. You go, sorry, I don't know what happened. And he's like, literally no one knows what happened. There might be one guy on planet Earth that knows what happened.
Yeah, that's a great line. All right. So anyway, let's get into some stuff. And if you guys are, if you're in the live chat and you want to ask some questions, go ahead, throw them in. And Natalie, if you don't mind throwing them in here, that's fine. It's a little tougher for me today just because I'm looking at my laptop. Usually I look at I got a monitor here where I look at Rob and then I can do the questions on the laptop.
We get the booger view though. We get the up the Dave Smith nose view. So it's a rare angle.
Interesting question, listener. So there's a few things I want to talk about. One of them right now is that, well, I can't say it, but something really cool is happening right now that'll be out tomorrow.
Juicy.
So all you guys will see that tomorrow. It's going to be great.
Does it include you, or is it have to do with other people?
Nothing to do with me. It's something I was able to make happen.
Cool.
You know what it is if you think about it for long enough.
I'm guessing based on what you just said that I know what it is.
Yes. But I did. Anyway, there's a few things I wanted to talk about. Hold on one second. Sorry, I just got to check this. But like, So anyway, I guess whatever. I don't know. Sorry, I was my mind's racing a little bit there. But we gotta talk about, dude, this the Thomas Massey shit from yesterday. This is fucking incredible, dude. I've really never seen anything like this. And I shouldn't even say that. Well, look, in many ways, nothing like this. But so obviously, for people who don't know, Thomas Massey is the greatest congressman in the country by far, man. I mean, his voting record really is like just second to none. And that's not just from like the hardcore libertarian perspective, although certainly from the hardcore libertarian perspective, he's by far the best. But I mean, just like anybody who say, like, very broadly speaking, if you oppose all the insane wars that the country fought, which we're talking super majorities of the American people at this point oppose that. If you oppose the fiscal insanity and $40 trillion in debt, if you oppose the COVID restrictions and the COVID spending, if you oppose the cover up of the Epstein scam, like any of those issues, which are all like, you know, in the range of Americans who agree to it, it's probably between 60 to 85% agree with those issues that I've been laying out. He is second to none, voting record wise. Okay. Now, he also happened to expose AIPAC, and he went on the Tucker Carlson show. This became a huge scandal that he said that he's the only member of Congress who doesn't have an AIPAC person, and that every other member has a handler from AIPAC. Then, of course, he in a move of political brilliance, he checkmated the administration and forced them against their will to release the Epstein files, or at least to release half of them and then illegally hold the other half. As a result of that, the Israel lobby pumped $10 million into a congressional race in Kentucky. Now, this is, I saw Robert Barnes had said he had, I don't know exactly, you know, I didn't double check his math or nothing, but he had said that this was the equivalent of spending $2.5 billion on a national race. Ooh. Like, that's how much you would put into this district in Kentucky. Like, this is the type of effort that they made. Now, they've, with this money, they've run a huge series of attack ads against him, smearing him as all types of Nazi, Trump haters, you know, whatever. Just smearing him as this horrible Jew hater who's a Democrat, who's working against Trump. And it's been effective with the boomers in his district. You know, essentially the people who don't listen to podcasts like this, or don't, who still get their news from Fox News or right-wing talk radio or watch television, Rob, and so they see commercials on television. So it went from, you know, he won his primaries with like 85% of the vote, 78% of the vote. Like, he was just, he's been winning his Congress seat as much as he wants it. And then Donald Trump turned on him. They put $10 million in against him. And now it's a close race. He's been winning, but it's close. And they have poisoned a lot of people against him for the crime of, like, standing up for the victims of sex trafficking and standing up for the American people against whatever, you know, crazy thing was going on here with the Epstein class. Yesterday, in one day, they release an accusation by some woman, one person, completely uncorroborated, claims that Thomas Massey paid her hush money. Thomas Massey immediately comes out and goes, absolutely denies this. Then a mutual friend of theirs comes out, a woman, if that helps with credibility, which, if we're all being honest, it does a little bit in these situations. But the chick who evidently it was at her house that the thing went down, she came out and went, wait, what? She goes, this was after Thomas Massey had just lost his wife. This woman, the woman in question who made the allegation, evidently had also lost her husband. And she said Thomas Massey loaned her $5,000 to help her with funeral expenses. She's claiming this was hush money. He goes, I've never paid hush money to anyone in my life. Okay. And look, say what you will about any of these, like, he said, she said accusations where there's no evidence and the only corroborating person says, no, 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 this didn't happen at all. Under normal circumstances, that would be enough to get you to go, there's no there there. You have no evidence of anything. This is just an accusation. But when it's released in the last days, Rob, of the most high-profile congressional campaign where the Israel lobby poured $10 million into the race, that's more than a little suspicious. Now, on the same day, dude, Polymarket, for the first time in the race, says that for the first time, Thomas Massey is favored to lose. Then Polymarket takes out a paid Twitter advertising campaign, you know, where you can boost the posts and make everyone see them because you pay money or whatever, announcing that Thomas Massey is now the favorite to lose or is no longer the favorite. I'm just saying, Rob, this is the most obvious concerted effort. You know what I mean? Like, these are betting markets. All it takes is somebody with a bunch of money to make a huge bet against Thomas Massey, and you can move that. And then you pay for, oh, look at the story. The markets have moved. This is totally being manipulated. And yeah, just absolute bullshit. It's disgusting the way they try to smear this guy. I don't know. Any thoughts on it?
So before this, and I put the link in there. I don't know if you want to play any of it, but I was watching the video of the interview that this lady did. The interview is with the person who just lost the last congressional race or a previous congressional race to Thomas Massey. If you watch it, it feels like the most uncomfortable casting couch video I've ever seen, and no pornography actually takes place in this, but it is.
I haven't seen it. Is it worth playing anything?
You can watch any 60 seconds of this thing, okay. And it yeah, is let's uncomfortable.
Pull it up. Let's pull it up. What did you email this over?
It's the link is right there. It's in the chat. But before you play it, the dirty play here is, firstly, she makes the allegation that, I mean, I guess they were in a relationship 2 months after Thomas Massey's wife has passed. I take no issue with that. You know, your wife dies, whatever. Like, that's your personal business, how you're getting over the loss of your wife. Yeah.
It's just, and it was his wife he was with since he was in high school. It's just, like, I don't know.
It's just not my business, and yep. I don't think that's a poor reflection on a person that they're moving on or trying to date. That just doesn't bother me. All right. Anyways, but then she goes, I left that relationship because he was emotionally abusive and asked me to do things I wasn't comfortable with. And you kind of can't just make claims like that about a public individual, because when you say emotionally abuse, like, is there a criminal complaint here? And if not, that was your private relationship, and you're basically telling me you decided to break up with a guy.
Yeah, now, such a good point. I'm sorry, I want to let you finish, but it's such a good point. I mean, I remember this during the Me Too moment, which, as I've said many times, obviously, like, brought down some real creeps, and in some ways, I think was necessary. I don't think it was in the hands of really bad stewards of the movement, but. This term became really popular, called sexual misconduct. They would go, sexual misconduct. And oftentimes, literally, like, they accused Aziz of sexual misconduct. And what his sexual misconduct was is literally, no exaggeration here, he went on a date with a girl. The girl met him at a party with her boyfriend and got his number. And then called him, and that she was excited to go out with a famous guy. So they go out on a date. This is according to her story, not his. Her story is that they go out on a date, they go back to his place, they both get naked, and then he tries to fuck her. And then she goes, no, I'm not really, I don't want to have sex. And he tries again. And then she says no, they don't end up having sex. But she claims that, he didn't pick up on her nonverbal cues, which is that she wasn't really into it. And I, at the time, pointed out that going back to a guy's apartment and getting naked is, in fact, a nonverbal cue. And it's a nonverbal cue that might suggest we might be having sex tonight. But okay, so you use a word like sexual misconduct, which encompasses everything from, like, hey, can I grab you a drink? Can I get you a drink? No, I'm okay. Come on, let me get you a drink. That literally, according to them, is sexual misconduct, because she already said no and you still kept pursuing. Also, it describes throwing a woman down on a bed as she screams no and raping her. Like, so you have a word that covers both of these things. And then you're just going to throw the word out and not specify what you mean by it exactly. And you're like, well, yo, that's really dirty. Obviously, that's really dirty, because you like when you just say he made me do things I was uncomfortable doing, like that, there is no such thing as any relationship where you don't make your partner do something they're uncomfortable doing. I know my wife has made me do lots of things, and I'm not thinking of anything crazy. I'm thinking of things like you got to go get blood work or something. You know what I mean? Like there's just a, so yes, as you said, it's just, it's so dirty at all for this to be the public standard. But then in the fourth quarter, the last minute of the fourth quarter of a close game in a huge election, come on. Like, if you want to have any credibility at all with this, wait till the election's over and then make your allegation. Why didn't you make it before? Why didn't you come out? This guy's been in Congress this whole time. It's been years since this happened. Why are we only hearing about this now when this, because this is like the thing they try to do. If there's a little thing like that, if, you know, it's in a close race, this might move it a point or two. So there you go. Throw it out. By the time we figure out it's all bullshit, that'll be months later.
And then there's another blurred line on a non-disclosure agreement, which she never even, from what I understand, never even signed. But she was offered $60,000 when she left a job with another, I think it was a congressional whatever. And then she was naming Thomas Massie as a witness, and her claim is that Thomas Massie offered her $5,000 to not be named as a witness in it. But it all kind of just gets wrapped together as inappropriate relationship, asked her to do things that were uncomfortable, there's no even clear scandal here. And it's speaking to like the improper timing. So in other words, the allegation here has nothing to do with an improper sexual relationship. The story is really, hey, I guess I didn't like a guy and I decided to break up with him. You know what I mean? There's no criminal complaint. Apparently they were in a relationship and he asked her to do something he wasn't comfortable with. That might be that she had to open up her own car door. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Or that he was emotionally, whatever the word is, manipulative or whatever. So then you decide not to date a guy because you actually don't get along. You're not on the same terms. That's another just like meaningless thing of that you've decided this is not a good relationship for me. And so you broke up with someone. There's no criminal complaint there. Now, so the extent of the criminal complaint is that there was a supposedly offered $5,000 payment to him. Firstly, that shouldn't even register as like a political scandal. And if there's an actual criminal complaint there, go pursue it. And my guess is it's going to fall away immediately. But it's like you just wrap together all these little loose things and then you get to have your dirty storyline as if like a person's a creep or engaged in sexual misconduct, whatever the hell that means. It's the whole thing is just obviously a dirty trick. And the fact that it's coming from a guy who previously had ran against him also just is another indictment of the fact that this is a load of garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to find his. He had posted something, a denial about it. I can't find it. But yeah, Thomas Massie, this is all bullshit.
His denial was this is not politically motivated. But it's like, how is this not politically motivated? You did it 3 days before the guy's election, that you lost to. I mean, you could have done this a year ago. You could have done it in 6 months ago. There's really no way to pretend it's not motivated.
In a week. Or in a week. Let the election happen and then come out and say it. Because, like, obviously. Here, let's play a little bit of this clip because I had not seen any of this.
I only watched about the first five, but oh my God, is it uncomfortable? Here, you could, I mean, you could play it. I would play it like around like middle of where you have it, towards the beginning where it's just weird. Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad. I forgot there was this part.
All right.
Mm hmm. Yes.
Before we go much further, I'd like, if you don't mind, ask you to identify yourself, tell people who you are, what state you live in, what you do for a living.
Okay. My name is Cynthia West. I live in Florida. I'm a social worker and I'm a mom.
I want to be respectful of your time, and so I'm going to get to the point. You reached out to me some time ago. Is that right?
Yes.
And that was at that time you said you'd been referred to me. How were you referred to me?
Oh, we have a mutual friend.
How do we have a mutual friend?
Oh, through political circles.
Okay. So are you somewhere?
Because that doesn't sound shady off the bat.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Are you working with any candidates in Kentucky in any race?
No.
Are you in any way affiliated with any political organizations that are actively engaged in any races in Kentucky?
No.
Are you being paid by anybody to be here?
No.
Is there blackmail against you that you have to be here?
Offered or promised to you by anyone for your testimony today in any way?
No.
Well, we're in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You live in Florida. Yeah. We're in Crescent Springs, Kentucky at the moment. How'd you get here?
I flew.
Did anybody pay for your flight or your travel in any way for any reason?
No.
And why didn't you want to do this over Zoom?
On our prior conversation,
why was it so important for you to get on a flight and come like, to my office and sit through this?
Yeah, exactly. And then look, of course, like, look, the question here is like whether she's a liar or not. And so her saying no one paid me to do this or no, I'm not doing this for any other reason. It's like, all right, you can say that you're not under oath. She can just lie with no punishment here. I mean, I suppose theoretically she'd be opening herself up to like some type of defamation suit, but who knows? And that's very hard. It's very hard to win those in America. And it's just like, yeah, right, Rob. Again, but like, you're not really asking the question, which is, why did you fly here? Why are we doing this now? Like, that's the real question. Now, let's keep playing for a sec.
You shared with me the subject of today's interviews, and I'm going to ask you several questions about those things. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let me try to put these discussions in a time frame. Right now, it's May of 2026. Do you know Thomas Massie?
Yes.
What was your first contact with him?
We started.
Can you just pause for 1 second?
Messaging on X.
This is just bothering my tism. While you're playing this, why are the leaves moving around? Is that your mouse or is this actually a green screen? Do you notice that? You can press play again, but the leaves are like bouncing around. I'm like, is this not even a studio?
Who initiated those direct messages?
He did.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Did he reach out to you then on Twitter by
it's green screen?
Yeah, this is a green screen background.
They took a green screen of this boring room.
Had you ever had any prior?
What does the actual room look like? That this was an improvement.
Yeah, just that sort of thing.
They filmed it in Epstein's Island. This lady was locked in a basement.
Right. So after that,
it's just odd.
Direct
message. Did you have any other contact?
He started liking all my posts and started messaging pretty frequently.
And this was when?
Mid-August 2024.
Did he ever call you?
Well, we started talking shortly after that on the phone.
Were you able to discern from these conversations why he was calling you?
Well, I mean, we talked about being.
Can you pause again?
He was pursuing a relationship.
It's so odd, the format of this, of treating it like it's criminal.
Yeah.
The two of the, it's like a performative, like criminal investigation about.
Which, like, this
so a guy
isn't
slid
that
into
all.
Your DMs, this is, yeah, and then you decide you kind of like him, and then you went on a date, and then you guys slept together. But like,
Like
the tone of this
not,
is like,
you're not a detective at SVU. You're a failed congressional candidate. Why are you even asking it like this? And also, even just the like, I gotta say, I said this through all the Me Too stuff. I go, listen, man, if there's something criminal, then like fucking, you got all the right in the world to come out and say it. If you were like really victimized in some way, like you got a right to come out and say it. It's like when it gets to this stuff where it's just gossip and it's one-sided gossip. It's just your side. He was sliding into my DMs and we started calling and then you're just like, dude, none of us should know this. You're like, in the same way that like, if you dated someone and then you started publicly describing how they were in bed after you broke up. You're like, this isn't any of my business, dude. I don't need to know this, but I'm not a fucking here for gossip. And we talk about this stuff because we have issues about policies that we care about, like 15-year-old girls here. See, I already hate this. Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to watch any more of this. Yeah, it's just, I'm sorry. This is phony and weird and the timing fucking stinks. And look, man, I mean, it's just, if they, look, like, as I've been saying publicly for quite a while now, it's just like The real thing that's going on here is very clear, is that the Israel lobby is trying to buy a congressional seat to unseat a congressman who was very, very popular in his district until they poured $10 million into smearing the guy. And they want to unseat him for the crime of exposing the Israel lobby and the Epstein, you know, file, which is not an entirely separate issue. Now, is it? And like, that's either allowed to happen or it's not. You know, I wanted to see this. You won't believe this, dude. I want to see. I saw this Michael Knowles post about it, which I just couldn't. This is the Daily Wire spin on what's going on here. Let me see if I can find it. I meant to bookmark it. Oh, here it is. So this is Michael Knowles, right? So he sees the Polymarket scam, but can't identify it for what it obviously is, right? Like, you can't put two and two together that, oh, they poured $10 million into this campaign to defeat him. And then all of a sudden, a few days before the election, there's this big money infusion betting against him. So he posts, if Massey goes down, there can be no doubt whatsoever that President Trump continues to hold, as I have long observed, despite popular babbling to the contrary, an ironclad grip on the GOP. So Michael Knowles is trying to spin this like, man, if Massey loses, that just proves how much the GOP sides with Donald Trump. That's what it proves. But then you might ask yourself, why the $10 million? Why the smear campaign? I mean, why could, if the proof here is that Donald Trump just has such a grip over the minds of Republican voters, why couldn't he just endorse the opponent? Tell him not to vote for Massey. Because he did that too. But why wasn't that enough? You know, it's like a guy, let's see, a guy who votes with the MAGA agenda like 85% of the time, who is more America first than Donald Trump is, a guy exposes the Israel lobby. The Israel lobby then pours $10 million into a Kentucky congressional race to unseat him. And the proof of that, you know, I might be thinking that like the Israel lobby has way too much power in this country. No, no, no. The proof is that that's just how popular Donald Trump is.
Like, yeah. What well, can you say? I think the storyline here is more deep state versus America first, which is if Thomas Massey, who's one of the only dissenters in the Republican Party against the war, the spending, the not releasing the Epstein files, and if the machine can take him out, then we're just all beholden to the machine. I mean, that's kind of what it means. And so to look at this and go, oh, no, look, Donald Trump is still so popular that if he, firstly, in the last midterm elections, Donald Trump's picks didn't do that well.
Yeah,
and then, sure, right. Donald Trump himself, big and greatest comeback you've ever seen. I'll give him that. Biggest comeback. It's true. What a political comeback. And he was able to win the presidency. And yeah, he's got a loud voice and other Republicans don't really want to dissent from him, even right, on topics that maybe they disagree with him on. But Donald Trump is an absolute nightmare. Massey's been the only one who's standing up to him in unimportant topics. And if he gets unseated, and by the way, if you're an actual Republican, Donald Trump is going to destroy your party. If the entire thing is you have to be in line with Donald Trump, Donald Trump shows no loyalty back. He will ruin this country. You guys will not be able to win elections, and he's not going to stick around to campaign for you. He's not, even if he gives you his endorsement, it's going to be worthless. You guys are celebrating your own demise.
Such a great point, man. I mean, talk about going down with a sinking ship. This guy's, dude, it's Fox News is reporting his approval ratings at like 32%. And with everything that's going on in Iran, I don't know where that's going to be in a month. I mean, you're going to tie yourself to this, but look, I don't want to like say, I don't know. This feels like a must win for the country. It feels almost like, look, dude, if they actually can do this and take this enormously popular figure in his district who just continues to win and win and win, and they can just buy it, just buy public opinion against him and turn. And yeah, it does feel a little bit like, okay, so then like essentially what you're telling me is that the political avenue has been exhausted. Like, we've won the argument. The super majorities of the American people agree with us, and we still lose every political fight. Well, then there's no such thing as democracy, which again, I already believe there's no such thing as democracy. But look, there's a lot of issues with democracy itself, right? Like in the libertarian, you know, in our kind of like school of thought, we've talked about this many times before, Rob, but right, there were people like Hoppe and Rothbard who were very critical of democracy, and for like very obvious reasons. Democracy is celebrated in a way in modern times that doesn't really make sense. Like it's a good in and of itself or something like that. So just like, for example, if you really think about it, like if 55% of the population, let's just say hypothetically, believed in slavery, like, therefore, do you think we should enslave the other 45%? We'll hold a referendum. It'll be done democratically. You know, if whether you're on the right or left side of the issue, I used to use this example all the time, just because I thought it was one that really pinned liberals down on how they don't even believe in democracy. But if you remember when gay marriage first got legalized, well, first of all, it was legalized undemocratically in many states. So in California in 2008, they had a referendum on whether gay marriage should be legal or not. Now, keep in mind, this is California. This is how far left the country's moved in the last 20 years. So in 2008, they have a referendum in California. It fails miserably. The people of California vote against gay marriage being legal. Now, an interesting fun tidbit about this is the reason it failed, it's believed, is because Barack Obama was on the ballot for president for the first time. So they also had a referendum on gay marriage. And so they got historic record high black turnout to come vote for Obama. And a lot of black dudes like in the hood, a lot of working class black people who had never voted before came out and voted for Obama, understandably, because it was the first chance to ever have a black president of the United States of America, something that was deemed just a few years ago to be like impossible, or could we ever get there? So all these black people come out to vote just knowing nothing except, fuck it, I'm here to vote for Obama. And then they're like, what's this question about gay shit? What? No. So anyway, the you know, if it was just white liberals, it probably would have passed. But anyway, it fails. A couple years later, a judge comes in and strikes it down. He goes, no. Gay marriage is legal. They had some constitutional interpretation. You got no right to tell people whether they can and can't get married. Not one liberal in the country went, no, it should be done democratically. This is against the will of the people. Literally not one. And if you can find one, I'll eat my words on this, but you can't because it doesn't exist. A few years later, this was in 2011, 2012, or what was it? It was after Obama came out for gay marriage. He flipped on that. Then the Supreme Court made it the law of the land for every country. There were still like 30 states in the country where gay marriage wasn't legal. There was no democratic process whatsoever. The court came down and said, that's it. Every single state law that you have on the books about this is here null and void. Gay people can get married. Not one liberal in the country complained that this wasn't. So anyway, my point is, no one really gives a shit about democracy, okay? Like, it's not really the belief that people have. And certainly, libertarians like us, if 55% of people voted for us to turn into a communist country, no, we don't support that. We don't, like, I don't know. We value liberty and prosperity and other things, not democracy. Ludwig von Mises, however, was the greatest economist to ever live. He defended democracy, but he didn't defend it with all the bullshit other arguments. He didn't say, I defend democracy because we are the people. The people are the government, or that it's somehow moral. Majority rule is somehow moral, which is just mob rule, really. What was the Gene Epstein? Loves that line. Democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. But anyway, my point is that, so Ludwig von Mises's argument for democracy was that he goes, look, it allows for the peaceful transfer of power. There's at least a game. We all agree to the game. We play it, and the winner gets power without a civil war. If you don't have that, there's two competing factions, you're likely to get violence. Now, that to me is the best argument for democracy. I'm not saying I completely agree with it or not. I don't know. Smarter men than me are arguing about this. But there is something that I think of with that, where you're like, oh, dude, but like, you're almost like removing the peaceful option. Now, I'm not advocating any type of violent option, but it does feel like, you know what I'm saying? That like if you're just announcing that we get no shot, it's kind of like, you know, you do the Oslo, you do the Abraham Accords, and you let the Palestinians know that there's no hope. Give up hope entirely. There is no peaceful method that you can achieve statehood through. That doesn't tend to work out so well. Anyway, I'm very hopeful that he'll just win this. It'll be a great thing for us to celebrate if he is able to win this and he defeats this whole machine. But yeah, it's pretty crazy that they can still do this. The truth is that if they're able to do this to Thomas Massey, it kind of lets us know, Rob, that there's no real electoral political option until the baby boomers die. Of natural causes, I mean, not suggesting anyone go exterminate a generation, but, you know, dude, did you see, oh, fuck, man, I don't know. Did you see the graphic of the poll?
Yeah, who's supporting him. It really does, you know, for all the talk about the lefties, the socialists, and all the groups that are ruining our democracy, my God, do we need a political movement against the baby boomers? It should be cut off their benefits. You know, you guys stole enough money out of this country and you keep voting against the interests of this country growing and being better. We're going to vote away your Social Security and your Medicaid. You guys have stolen enough. Go sell your homes at their inflated values. Like, just it's war. You guys want to spend all of our money on wars and all of your benefits? And how much have you guys enjoyed this system of this money printing scheme that inflated all the assets that you guys own? And you guys are this much of a sucker to these old news networks. You're not going to ruin the whole country. I mean, it's funny that it's becoming like a age demographic, us versus them a little bit, with all their talk about, you know, golden spoon generation or these millennials, the this, they're that. And it's like, you guys are suckers for Fox News. You voted for socialism every step of the way. You supported wars and you spent this nation's wealth.
Oh, it's just infuriating, dude. They go, oh, these millennials and Gen Zs with their avocado toast and their lattes, and they're just too pampered.
Yeah, because we have no ability to get homes or married, and so we're wasting our money on overpriced toast because everything's so expensive. You don't pay attention to money anyways.
Yeah, motherfucker, you went to college and could work a summer job and pay it off, and that college degree guaranteed you a job where you could purchase a house for $45,000 that was going to go up to $800,000. We're gonna fucking sit here and look down at the fucking kid who works at DoorDash and has 150 grand in debt because he took your advice and went to fucking college when the degree didn't guarantee him anything like that. He gets a job at DoorDash, six figures of debt, and now he can't buy a house for 45 grand because he's got to buy your house from you for 800 grand, which you did nothing but just sit on it. Anyway, if you haven't seen the graphic, I mean, it's like when you, it's just a graphic of, it's one poll. So again, you know, you take these with a grain of salt, but the point is always reading a poll isn't to see necessarily, is this the exact number, but it's to view like overall trends. So they break it down by age, and dude, I mean, it's like it's 60, even the 40 to 50 year olds are pro Massey, and then 60 to like 85 are again, but the numbers are like, dude, it's like, I'm just ballparking, it was close to this. It was like 40 to 50 year olds, Massey's plus 25 points. 30 to 40 year olds, he's plus 35 points. 20 to 30 year olds, he's plus 65 points. But then 70 to 80 year olds, he's like negative 45 points. So the thing is, you get some of these districts where there's just a lot of boomers in these districts. And one thing, say what you will about those boomers, but you know what they do, Rob? They vote. They show up and vote. It's a big deal to them. And so anyway, yeah, it's just like, it's such a, you know, as you were saying, it's such a crazy, like the juxtaposition of the two where you're like, it's not like he's doing a little bit worse with boomers and a little bit better with younger people. It's like younger people would run through a fucking wall for Thomas Massey. And then older people are convinced he's fucking Adolf Hitler because fucking Mark Levin told him so. It's just, yeah, what can you say, man? And I do agree with you. I mean, you know, the baby boomers need to be stopped. like their voting habits, all of this. It's all them. It's, and don't get me wrong, there's major problems with the young people as well. And on the left, they're veering hard into authoritarian socialism. And on the right, they're veering hard into authoritarian fascism. But there is a consensus that we are done with the swamp in Washington, D.C. That we are done with the Trumps and the Bidens and all of the Mitch McConnells and the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's, all of them. The wars and the fucking, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you look at that poll and you go, man, if these demographics were different, this whole thing would be completely different.
I sent two emails of, I think the guy's name is Ed Glerin. But I sent two videos of people attending his rallies, younger individuals, and asking why he won't vote for Massey. And why he won't debate.
He won't
Thomas
debate him.
Massey.
He's also, he's refused. That's another really important point. He's refused to debate him this whole time. He's just going to rely on the money. Just going to rely on the smears.
He's running a Joe Biden campaign, mm-hmm. which is hiding out amongst the elderly so that, you know, no one gets a good picture of who he actually is or what he runs for. It's just it's really just an unseat Thomas Massey with Israeli money campaign. And I played some of the campaign ads on Run Your Mouth, but there's one that's really nasty where there's AI images that and video of him holding hands with AOC. And if you're not paying close attention to where it says this is AI generated and it's all just like Thomas Massey flipped and he supports the Democrats, he's against
and
Donald
like,
Trump.
Dude, for boomers, dude, I mean, I don't even know. I'm telling you, like, I got some boomers in my family and they're cool ones. They're not the ones who ruined everything for the most part. But, dude, the idea that a boomer is going to even know when you say this is AI generated, what that means. If they can see it without their reading glasses on, I'm just saying, I'm being honest here. I don't know if I remember I said, I was literally, this is just popping into my head right now. But I remember I said something at one point, we were watching like a movie with my kids and my mother-in-law. And she asked about some special effect. And she was like, how do they get it to do that? And I go, oh, it's CGI. And she goes, what's CGI? No, listen, I'm not the guy who like knows technology the best, but she had just never, it's nothing against her. She just never heard this term. That wasn't a term that was used for movies in her day. Like she has no idea. So like AI generated or something like that. Like, I don't even know they would know that. My point being that this is not, I don't know. I'd have to ask my mother and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and my, you know, aunt and uncle or whatever. Like I'd have to ask the boomers in my family, but I'm not sure any of them know that AI is good enough, that AI could basically recreate this video of me and you. And like at the point where AI is right now, you would probably notice, but it is like a subtle tell at this point. You know what I mean? That's not really the person. And you throw that AI slop in front of a boomer, they got no defenses for that, dude. Like I'm just saying they might really, it's very likely that the majority, like the overwhelming majority of baby boomers who see that think that that's a picture of Thomas Massey holding AOC's hand.
Oh, this is some good AI too. It looks really authentic. But it's worth, because this guy, he's not smooth. He's not electable. It's purely just a you can't vote for Massey campaign. But I think it's worth showing the clips of when people in the crowd are giving him a hard time why he won't debate him.
Because sure,
you can see
it.
Just how bad of a candidate this guy would be if, like, you know, if he was up against just anyone and you were just watching this person and thought, hey, is this guy a good candidate?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's play one of the clips. I saw one of these.
He took the press out of the middle and talked right to the people. What did President Trump do? What did Gallagher do? I'm going to talk right to you. I ain't scared enough. You think I lack of courage? In fact, they had to hog tie me from taking that bull on. So there ain't no money in it. The New York Times is going to show up and all they're going to print is, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep it. Whatever they say, they're going to call it the gospel. You know, you ain't going to hear another word about it. So as you might guess, I'm not shy enough about church.
Can you just pause it already? It's even the reference, dude. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. It's a reference to what the boomers cared about in Obamacare. You know, like they're just so, there is a thing where like, you just realize they're so just like in a different political world than the rest of us. Like, dude, and this is the thing that gives you contempt for boomers. It's like, your children can't afford to live. But the thing that motivates you is still hearing about how Obama messed with your healthcare. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, dude, like, you still, that's still the issue of the day or whatever. Anyway, just keep lying.
You haven't debated him.
I'm debating him right now.
No, you're not debating him. You're giving a bunch of platitudes. You're not explaining anything. You've not gone toe-to-toe with the congressman. Yes, you're not explaining your differences. Right, you're not doing anything.
You're not explaining any differences. I just laid it all out, young man. It made no sense.
It made no sense. Yeah. A civil conversation is the congressman and him debating, not him pulling up signs and a Letterman's jacket.
You asked a question, he answered it. Yeah, with a blatant lie, like just objective lie.
And this is his line. We'll play the next video, but he has the same answer when asked it. I'm debating him right now, which is so Trumpian. Like, I don't see Thomas Massey standing here. I don't see a debate going on. Yeah. What does that mean? You're debating him right now. And it's not like Thomas Massey refused to debate you, in which case you could say, well, I'm challenging his ideas right now, and that's why I'm here, because I'm challenging what he stands for, and here's my particular problem with him. But to go, I'm debating him right now, as I just spew nonsense. I mean, it's very Trumpian.
Yes, I will grant you that.
Natalie, but, I emailed well, both
well, let me just
together.
Say, yeah. Yeah, yeah, let me just say before we go into the next one, like, there is a... hold on 1 second. I just got to send a text. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about this. It's important about the really awesome thing that's happening and it's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, there you go. Okay, I'm just gonna tell him I just texted. Okay, sorry. Yeah, there you go. There you go, Natalie. I want to tell you guys so much, but you know I'm not allowed to. You guys find out tomorrow. Okay. So I just wanted to make the point that, you know, it should be goddamn illegal to dodge a debate before an election, right? Like, shouldn't that just be like absolutely mandated that you can't listen, man? I feel an obligation to do debates because I have to show you me defending myself against someone challenging. Now, there's some people who don't like to do debates. I get that. And there's some, you know, Daryl Cooper said a thing, he like at one point where he was like, maybe I'll do a debate like at some point, but like it would have to be something like I prepare for in a specific topic. He goes, I don't like to like on the spot someone's grilling you and then I say something that maybe isn't exactly what I meant. I like time to like gather my thoughts and really lay it out the way I do. And like, fair enough, debate isn't for everyone. There's different skill sets involved. I could never do what Daryl does, so you know, I don't object to him not doing what I do. But motherfucker, you're running to hold political power to like be a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and you're asked to debate your opponent and you go, I'm doing it right now. Well, no, you're not, because he doesn't get to talk. That's the whole point of a debate, is that you got to deal with his points and his rebuttals, and he gets to argue that you're lying. And yeah, this guy is just...
I think it's... I don't know that it should be against the law to not participate in a debate. Maybe I could understand that, you know, that was part of the election cycle.
Well, I'm not saying you go to jail. I'm not saying you go to jail or nothing. No, you can't win the office.
I almost get that like it should be in law that part of the debate, part of running for office, is that there is a mandatory one scheduled debate. And if you're not showing up to it, then you're not eligible because you didn't submit to the process. But I do kind of feel like it's on the voters, where it's like, if you're champ and you're dodging someone, and then it kind of, you know, everyone knows like, oh, this guy's, he's dodging someone.
Right.
And it should almost be on the voters, where it's like, you know, if you refuse to show up to debate, everyone's like, okay, then this guy can't handle the job. If you cannot show up and debate your opponent, then you cannot represent our views on in DC. You're not qualified. You're not capable. There's a reason why you won't show up to a debate, and that's either you're dishonest or you're not well-spoken enough to represent your views. So you're not qualified. Mm-hmm. But I guess these boomers are too old and stupid and too locked in with, Donald Trump is our savior, and anyone standing in Donald Trump's way, even if the things that they did not agree with Donald Trump on was exposing pedophiles and not supporting foreign wars or not going ahead with increased spending and tariffs, but these people are too... I don't know. I get just too old and stupid.
Yep. That really does seem to be the issue. All right, here, let's hit your next one.
Should be a voting cap on age. Same as you can't vote till you're 18. I don't know. Maybe past 75 or something.
Well, Rob, you're speaking my language now, dude. Honestly, can't hold political power, can't vote after a certain age. Okay, I saw the last one. I have not seen this one, so I'm curious to watch.
Well, thank y'all for letting me share that with you. Yes, ma'am, in the back there.
Why won't you debate Thomas Massie?
Great question. Ma'am, I'm debating him right now. He's been in office, he's been running 15 years. What's he got to say now that he hadn't said already?
You know, a radical authoritarian socialist that comes in 2028, and we've given them all this executive authority, and now the precedent is set for them to come in. And who wants to know what that looks like? Okay. But that's the question. Are you going to cede away authority and support executive power?
I'm just here with my picture of Abraham Lincoln.
Better not for me. But thank you for coming. Thank
you. You're not going to answer our questions? Are you really not going to answer any more questions? You can go that way. I'm asking. He's still there.
Jesus.
This lady's old. I'll talk to her.
How do you know I can't vote for him? I'm not with him. I just met him today. Oh, grim face. Yeah. All right. You're not going to answer any more questions, huh? Just like that. What a coward. That's why you won't debate.
I do not know these women. I sat next to them.
Sir, I was just trying to frame the question, so that way you would know which unconstitutional things I was speaking about.
So
that tells everything right there.
Jeez.
That tells the whole story.
Let's see here. Let me get my camera out so I can figure out his picture.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
dude.
Give you my name, so too.
You also, like, here, we can turn it off. It's also, like, I don't know. Like, also, this shouldn't be allowed either. There's just something where it's like, dude, you should have... I don't know.
This guy's not a person. I mean, like, yeah. I guess he was a former soldier or whatever. They ran the numbers. They're like, hey, we can push this through. And he's not actually running a campaign. He's speaking to a couple old people, won't debate. And they're spending millions of dollars on a very well-crafted, hey, Thomas Massie's aligned with the Democrat ads in a Republican district.
Like, what's this guy's
old people fall sucker to?
Yeah, what's this guy's qualifications? They're like, he kissed the wall a dozen times. He's good. We know we got him. Look, he holds an Abraham Lincoln thing and can't answer a question. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, what a mess. It's unbelievable that they essentially, you know, it lets you know, though, right? Because, like, even when you think about, like, the boomers who are falling for this shit, you're like, if it was all them, they just win. It wouldn't even be close. They just win. They just smear you. They don't even have to have a candidate. They don't even have to take on what you're saying. And this is it's shocking in a way, because it's like an example of the old order of politics where you're like, oh yeah, this shit used to work.
And it's funny that this old lady, like, it's such a Karen where it's like, these two people are being disrespectful. You came to our event, and it's like, no, this guy shouldn't be running for office, and he shouldn't be so cowardly that he won't debate. And he should be able to field a couple hostile or, I mean, the other guy's question of, hey, the wheels are going to turn, the Democrats are going to be in part power. And if you're handing more power to the executive branch, don't you have concerns? And of course, he's like, no, I'm just here to pledge allegiance to Donald Trump and try and unseat Thomas Massie, who was getting in the way. I don't plan on doing anything else once I'm there other than collecting a paycheck and being aligned with power. So he doesn't want to address it, but it's a fair question. But to this lady, it's like, no, we're all supposed to be holding hands in allegiance to whatever Donald Trump has put in front of us here. How dare you, young man? I'm supposed to be able to rob your wealth and have wars that nobody wants and steal the younger generation's wealth.
No, look, it was a great, by the way, it was a great question. Not a good question, a great question. by that guy in the audience. I guess this is the type of thing you get from Thomas Massey, you know, supporters, because they actually know what the fuck they're talking about. But yeah, the idea that everybody's so, you know, it's like, I was watching the other day. In fact, I think I might talk about this on the next public episode a bit, but I was watching the debate between Steven Crowder and Nick Fuentes. And, you know, obviously, like, me and Fuentes got a lot of shit we don't agree on, but I certainly agreed with him on the topic of this debate, which was that he was basically just like, yeah, you can't support the Republicans in the midterm election. And Steven Crowder's whole thing is always like, oh, it's so boring. It's like, oh, the Democrats are so bad. We got to take whatever we can get here because the Democrats. And you're like, so your biggest concern is the Democrats? How about establishing the precedent of completely governing by executive order? Doesn't that just make them even scarier? I mean, if the next Democratic president is going to come in, mark my words on this, the next Democratic president will come in, they're going to do exactly the same thing Donald Trump did, which is sign 1,000 executive orders on the first day. That's what they're going to do. This president's been, and by the way, one of the things you can do through executive action, you can't do everything, but you know what you can do is undo all previous executive actions. Now, they won't undo all previous ones, but they'll undo all of Trump's, you know, or just about all of them. And so, yeah, it's like, no one even stops to think about that. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's wrap up on that. But yeah, hopefully Thomas Massey gets this done. A lot of exciting things happening in the next few days. I got a few big shows coming up. There's a big show that I'm not involved with coming up. But yeah, looking forward to all of it. All right. Catch you guys next time. Peace.